Well, welcome. The recording started, and you'll be getting an email about the different ways you can hear the recording from today's teleseminar. It could be on an Apple podcast. It could be on my teleseminar link and also on SoundCloud. So welcome to today. There's a couple points to make before we get into the topic for today. First, again, you know, just a reminder that I'm offering a retreat in Spain in a beautiful town in Spain that has near, you know, the beaches near the ocean. And what we're going to do is really dive deeply into the understanding of Sidney Banks' teachings and also explore together ways to share this understanding with others. Because as Sid has mentioned to us, once you have some understanding and people ask about it, you want to share. The more you share, the closer you are to the truth for yourself, but also helping people really get an understanding that will help them in their lives. So the other piece he said about that was really valuable to me was that if you don't share, then you're like, you don't really see the truth of it. Anyhow, that's the retreat in Spain, and you have probably seen that as part of the email reminding you about today's teleseminar. It will also be part of the email sent out to you with the recording. The second point is today, you know, these teleseminars started 10 years ago, and it was the idea that we would get a community of people who connect into the teleseminar, and I would share a bit on the topic, and then we would all hear from people who want to share or have questions or just in general want to share their understanding of the principles. It's kind of like in the States, a town hall meeting where a senator or a local council person or politician will have a town hall with all of the community members and hear questions and hear people sharing. It was that kind of idea. So it's still today. I'll talk for a while on today's topic, but then welcome people who are here on the call to share. Ask any questions about today or share anything there. They might be understanding from today's call. Finally, you know, the teleseminars are based on my understanding of the teachings of Sidney Banks, the three principles, and how they could apply to various life issues. So today we're talking about how to live in the feeling of love, how to live your life in the feeling of love. And, you know, the first thing to see is that you are love. The energy, your spiritual energy is love. That you are mind, the energy of mind is love. And again, if you have watched any of the videos of Sidney Banks' seminars that are now out on the public and the internet, he'll always say, you know, he'll talk about this understanding at a spiritual level, and then he'll always say, you know, it's love and understanding, and that's the truth. It's love and understanding. And we are that. It's our natural state. So that's the first thing to see. You know, a life outside of love really is an unnatural state because you are this energy. Our natural states are to live life in the feelings of love. Well, how could we understand, you know, or look together at what gets in the way? You know, and, you know, it's pretty simple about what gets in the way is our own ideas, our beliefs, the habits of thought we've learned to get into. You know, people have come to me who have innocently taught to be perfectionistic. And so they're caught up in a lot of self-judgments. And those self-judgments make them feel bad, but also keep them from their natural state of love and understanding. This pure energy, you see, of what we are. So there's many ways we innocently learn growing up to get into a lot of what we might call personal thinking about ourselves or about life that create, you know, thinking that creates fear or worry or what you might call anxiety, greed, envy, jealousy. Those are thoughts that really are unnatural. It's an unnatural way to see life. Now, it's natural in the sense that all of us learn that. You know, all of us get caught up to, you know, our days with, you know, personal thoughts like this. But it's unnatural to live in the effect of that thinking. Because, again, our natural state is the feeling of love. So the first thing is to see that the way you use this power we're given to think can get in the way of you living in this, in your essence, your true essence, which is love. So this isn't about you working to not think that way. It's about you getting really believing, you know, not really believing, but seeing the truth that your thinking is getting in the way of living in the true feelings of love. And that's important, not to evaluate yourself or judge yourself, but it's like your saving grace to begin to realize that the thinking you've learned to do may be what's keeping you from the loving life you want to live in. So it just, you know, looking to what gets in the way of these feelings is not to be taken as something you need to get rid of. How it's to be taken is that you just start to realize that the quality of your thinking may have something to do with why you're not living this moment of life in the feelings of love. That's all. Just take that. As you start to see that, when that makes true sense to you, and you see that's the only thing in the way, you'll be given ways to take care of that for yourself. So understanding what gets in the way points us to look within. Look within to the way we're thinking. That's what's in the way, not your circumstances, not the relationships you're in, not your work. It's really how you're using your thinking to navigate all of those aspects of your life, you know, that you've learned through life that gets in the way of you living in the feelings of love at work, with your partner, with your family, with yourself. Mm. I was just mentoring someone today who talked about a moment where she wasn't feeling well, and her husband came into the room to help her, and she just all of a sudden saw him through the eyes of love rather than through the eyes of complaining about him. And when she saw him through the eyes of love, she was telling me, she saw how worried he was. She saw that he really was concerned about her. Another way of saying that is she really saw the humanness of her husband. And she said to me, my heart went out to him. I was filled with compassion for him. And that's just a number of stories that people have shared with me as they begin to understand that the way they're thinking gets in the way of looking at aspects of their life through the lens of love. So looking at your partner through the lens of love, your heart goes out to your partner. You see their humanness and so forth. So that's just one story of many in which people begin to realize that how they've been thinking, when that quiets down, they're able to see the people around them through the feelings of love, the essence of love. Now, we're not talking about love as a thing, something for you to practice, for a skill for you to develop, because you are already that. You are already this energy we're calling love. What we mean is this pure state of consciousness where you just have beautiful feelings. That you just are surrounded by everything is okay, the beauty of just in beauty, just in love. There's no, in that essence, there's no thinking about yourself. There's no idea about yourself. You're just in beautiful feelings of love, and you know it's all, everything's okay. That may be how it shows up for you. So it's looking within. It's looking to your natural state, not trying to build a skill or trying to get your life better. Because you see, when you drop into that feeling, your life is better. That's the paradox, you know. It's like you give up taking things so personally, and you drop into the feelings of love, and what looked like a problem to you no longer exists. I used to work with a lot of people in relationships. When I was working in the psychiatry department in a major medical center for 28 years, and a lot of couples would come to see me. And, of course, when they first came to see me, they were at odds with one another. They were complaining about one another. They were trying to fix one another. But as they began to awaken these feelings of love, really by understanding the nature of thought, the power of thought, they started to see that the ill will feelings they were having toward their partner was the result of the way they were thinking about their partner. And as they began to quiet that down through understanding, their feelings of love emerged within themselves. And so after we met for a little bit, they would come back, and all of the list of problems that they wanted to have me help them fix were gone. There may have been one or two things they really wanted to have a chance to talk with one another about in these feelings with some guidance from me. But mainly all of the other problems did no longer existed because they had gone within to find love. They found love, and that brought them to a place of understanding where it was easy for them to take care of the many things they thought were the reasons for their conflicts, like how to parent, finances, all these issues just seemed no longer to be at the problem level. They were just not there. And what they were living in was generosity to one another, gratitude for one another. Now, that wasn't 24/7, because we're all in the human condition, you know, so we're going to get our learned habits that that we make judgments and think our way is the right way. But what helped, and helped everyone that came to me for coaching and me, is understanding how my thinking's doing. And once I could wake up once again to, oh no, there I go again, back into trying to force how right my way is. Once I saw what I was doing, it was easy to let it go. Once that quieted down, the feelings of love that are my essence rose to the surface and gave me a way to be. It might be as this client of mine that I saw today, it might be the gift of compassion. She saw the humanness of her husband beyond the lens of complaining about him. That disappeared. The minute that disappeared, she saw him with compassion. Her heart went out to him. It might be that you sit in gratitude for your job, for the people around you, for the staff that you work with. You might be that you live in generosity. I know when I'd be at this medical center 5 days a week, you know, so when I truly left the house and was driving to the medical center and I was truly in these feelings, you know, I wasn't preoccupied with my habitual thinking, generosity came to mind. So I would stop by maybe a coffee place and get some snacks to bring to the clinic. Or, you know, bring my partner in this program her favorite coffee. So in these feelings, you live in generosity, or you are blessed with compassion, or you're blessed with gratitude. It's not something to work at. It's that, again, when you go back within, to find these beautiful feelings of love, what's needed in the moment will come to you. It'll just come lightly to you. Oh, you know, why don't you bring some snacks to the clinic today? It wasn't a burden. Whereas when I was driving with my head filled with thinking, things I had to do today, what we were lagging in our program, all these thoughts that felt like pressure, it would be a burden to stop and, and bring something to the office. But that's us, you know, that's the nature of being human. But once you can see that you're in a thinking that or you're caught up in your habitual thinking, that's your saving grace. Once you see it, once again, when you see it, you're able to help yourself maybe not go any further, maybe quiet it completely. But with that understanding, you will be reminded to go back to love and understanding. You know, it's so beautiful. I mean, like, working at this medical center was years ago now, and I remember before I even had listened to Sydney Banks or began to read his books and so forth, there were times when I was so-called stressed out by my job, I'd be looking to other jobs in the week. I'd be looking there. Now, once I got insights from listening to Sydney Banks that I have shared on these teleseminars, I now love my job. I no longer look for anything else. I just looked at my job with love. I was grateful for it. I had like 8 psychologists that I was the director of, and I saw their humanness. I had heartfelt feelings for them, even though they saw things differently than I did. I was able to bring cooperation into this program because I saw working with them with cooperation. So again, once you drop into these beautiful feelings, you see things from ways in which you get closer to people. You get more connected to people. You see them for who they truly are. Again, mind you that you are them because they are mind and so are you. These beautiful feelings take you to the feeling of being the same. The feelings of love and understanding allow you to feel you are the same. Now, Sydney Banks says something about that deeper that I am still reflecting on. There's only one or two times when he was talking to us and we were talking about feeling connected to another person in our lives that he would say, well, when you looked at them from those feelings, you saw yourself. And he said, if you realize that you are the same, you are that person is you, it wouldn't make sense to be angry at them because he would say this was his thing. It's like looking in the mirror and punching yourself in the nose. You wouldn't do that. And now I don't really see, honestly, that I'm really seeing myself when I look at another person. But I am getting the feeling that we are the same. And these feelings of love, living your life in the feelings of love. When my client said she had her heart went out to her husband, she saw him as the same, in my words. So one more piece here. This feeling of love is you believing you're meant to live in those feelings, that you have faith that those are that's your natural way to live life, that when you live there, all of what you're here on earth will occur to you, will be there for you. You will be guided to a life of love and understanding, to a life of happiness. And you can't practice that. You can't develop a skill for that. You have to, like Sydney says in capital letters, see that this is true. I remember a moment after having a conversation with Sydney Banks, I sat in my living room to the clinic, and I was just enraptured in these beautiful feelings. I truly was in love. And again, in those feelings, I had no sense of me. I was just surrounded by beauty, beautiful peace of mind, whatever you'd like to describe it. Well, then I was given the thought, well, you got to get to work. And as I was standing up to go to my car out of my house, a good friend of mine calls me, Kathy Casey. And I'm still in the effect of dropping into deep love and understanding that I'm showering her with gratitude. I'm talking about how much I love her and how much I'm so thankful she's in my life and how much I just treasured our work together. And it was so powerful and so different from who I really was. Although, you know, I do share those feelings, but this was deep. She said, what have you been smoking pot? So that was, it was just her comment about the depth and strength of my still being in this energy of love. So look to that. Begin to reflect on, it's unnatural for you to be in a state of unhappiness. It's unnatural for you to be in the state of worry and concern and fear and judgments. Just begin to consider that and look deeper to just the feelings of love and begin to appreciate when you do have a moment of generosity. Appreciate when you're being tender to someone you care about. When you're in gratitude for life, your job. You give up your way to cooperate and connect even deeper with people. Appreciate those moments because those moments are you in this essence of love. One more point about that. Again, back to working with couples. Even when they were with me in a complaining state, there would be moments where this essence would show itself. Like one person might put their arm around the other person, or they might hold hands. And they wouldn't stay there because their thinking was too powerful and misunderstood. So they would go right back to the complaining mode. But I had to point that out to them so they started to appreciate that that moment of tenderness was what they were looking for. That moment you put your arm around your partner was what you were looking for. That's the expression of this deep essence that we are, this love. They weren't appreciating that. What they were appreciating was more of their ill will thoughts. You know, they thought that was what needed to be looked at. Not this moment of tenderness. Or this moment of generosity, cooking a meal for your partner, helping out with chores, you know, that you just feel like giving. That's something to appreciate. That's a form of this essence. So that's living your life in love. That's what it is continuing to wake up again to the fact that your natural state is love and understanding, and to bring yourself back to have faith that when you go in to those feelings, you'll have what you need. That's where you're meant to live. That's really the heaven we're searching for. It's in you. And the hell is us getting caught up in our self-judgments, our self-evaluations, our judgment of other people, and so forth. Well, I talked a lot there. Actually, when I started out today in connecting to the teleseminar, I didn't have a sense I'd be talking so much about this topic. So I want to stop for a moment because, as I mentioned before more callers came on, I really want this to be a place where I talk a bit and then you are able to share. I really want to welcome your sharing. And if you've heard my past podcasts or teleseminars, you'll see that it's valuable. This is a valuable part of the teleseminar. When people share, it helps all of us. We all get something from it beyond my just talking. So I want to invite people to share with us a couple of things. Either ask a question about today or about the principles. Share what's coming to you about today's teleseminar, or just sharing your ongoing understanding of Sydney Banks' teachings or the principles. So if you want to share, I hope you do, just hit star 2 on your phone. When you hit star 2 on your phone, I'll see that you want to share and I'll unmute you. It's so valuable to hear from people. Doesn't matter. Even if you just want to say you liked today. So hit star 2. And I'd love to hear what you're getting. What have you realized? What have you noticed about trusting that feeling of love? What has it been like for you to appreciate generosity or feeling blessed or feeling gratitude? You know, I remember how nervous I got when we had in the early days of this understanding here in the San Francisco Bay Area, Sydney Banks would come over just once in a while. And we would have a small meeting with him, and he'd say, any questions? And I had questions, and I was too nervous to ask them. Now, as I think about those times, I wish I would have asked them, because really, there's no bad question or sharing. Oh, we have someone from, what I'm getting is a James from Oceanside, California. Hello?
Oh. Hi, Dr. Howard. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, good. This is Jimmy. I was at one of your seminars with Grace.
Hi, Jimmy.
I completely agree with you. You know, when I can feel the love inside me in the moment, I don't even have to try to be nice or behave well or any of that. That's just what shows up. And, but what I'd like to do, maybe you could help me with, is, when I can't feel that love, the negative story in my head is just so loud and insistent, I just can't even seem to get to the love for more than a brief second or something. You know, I was wondering if you had any ideas for me.
Well, Jimmy, I like what you started to share, that when we are in that feeling, we don't even have to worry about being nice or anything how we would like to be with people. We just are. That's just the nature of it. And, you know, that feeling must come to us as a thought. So, again, you know, we're thinking in a way that leads us to be nice. You know, it's just something, Jimmy, that you already see it as a story. It's just, you're just in the human condition. And when our levels of consciousness or our levels of understanding drop, it becomes more negative thinking. And again, I may have shared this on the seminars you've been part of, but you know, one of the things that helped me with it was, was Sid saying, you know, when you see you're in a low mood, let's say you're in a negative story. When you see you're in a negative story, have the courage, you see, have the courage to realize you just had a drop in your level of consciousness. That's all that happened.
Yeah.
And like you say, Jimmy, the part for us to continue to reflect on is having the courage, because it looks so real. And having the courage to realize that it's just been a drop in your level of consciousness. It's just thoughts. And I continue to reflect on that. It continues to teach me. And each time I could see that a little deeper, I get better, when I'm caught up in a low level of consciousness. But I want to read you, Jimmy, and everybody here, an answer that Sid gave about changing thoughts. Here's what he said to someone asking him about thoughts leading to hate and jealousy that create anger. How do we go about it? And he said, simply change thought. Not all the pros and cons of why or how or any strategies or anything. Just change thought. He says, just change thought. It is so simple that the answer falls on deaf ears. We humans always prefer the hard way of doing everything. And I just have seen that this month. I just got, somehow I found this old paper I had. And it is that simple. It is. It is that simple. And it reminds me that why Sid could say that is because he realized when he was at that couples workshop, and he tells his story, about the psychologist telling him, you're not insecure, you just think you are. He realized it was just thought. Fear is just thought. Failure is just thought. And it's simply just changing thought. But what I want you to see, Jimmy, is that when you are in that story, it's just a drop in your level of consciousness. And we all do that. We can't control consciousness, but we can continue to stay open to seeing the truth of it, that all that happened is somehow these habitual thoughts that you've lived in come to mind. And when we look at them, they become powerful. But all that's really happened is your level of consciousness dropped, and these stories have masked these beautiful feelings of love that you have within you, these feelings of happiness and well-being that you have within you. And you're not unique. It happens to all of us because we're in the human condition. But today, I just wanted people to really see what's available, what you can look to, what you want to have faith in, what you are a part of. So thank you, Jimmy, for that.
Oh, can I ask you for a clarification? When you say change thoughts, are you referring to like thought substitution, or just like I could really appreciate what you said about just changing the thought to, oh, I'm just in a lower level of consciousness right now. Now, that's a different thought. But somehow I got that the three principles wasn't recommending thought substitution. But maybe I'm confused.
well, yeah, don't go there into what
yeah.
do I do? Just take that power of Sid's words of simply change thought. Don't think about.
Can you give me an example
means.
Of what
try
that means?
To, oh, well, okay. I don't know. I don't know. Well, what he says is drop your negative thoughts and look to the beautiful feelings.
Okay.
Linda Pransky lately has been talking to me about she notices a negative thought and then drops it. She won't follow it. She's really working to do that. That's her way.
Yeah.
See, that's her way. But you want to get a feeling of just change thought. If I'm bothered by my wife and I realize that I want to drop that thought and look to her through the lens of understanding. But see, Jimmy, I don't know how to put these words by Sid yet into my life. What I'm sitting with is the power of those words, that it's simply change thought. There's no pros or cons to it. There's no strategies, nothing like that.
Right.
There's no positive or negative thing.
Yeah.
Just change thought.
Yeah.
And so I'm getting also that it's so simple. It's just that simple. And Jimmy, I'm just sitting with that. I'm letting it percolate because I really don't know it as deep as Sid said it.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you, and I really appreciate just recognizing what's going on with me in the moment is I've just dropped in consciousness. There's nothing to fix.
There's nothing to fix. Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah. Thanks. Bye.
And I don't have a name. It's just a cell phone, and it's Santa Rosa, California. Hello?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
It's David Beatty here, Mark.
Oh, is this David?
Yes, it's David.
Hi, David.
How are you?
Great to connect with you.
Yes, likewise. So I was just, listening to what you had to say, and I have this thought that I'm kind of like in a mold, and it's really hard to break out of. And what I mean by that is that it's rare that I seem to drop into these nice feelings. I do, occasionally, and I don't know why, but I can kind of induce them by listening to what is a meditation tape that's a series of sounds, and I think subconscious sounds as well, and that seems to, quote unquote, break the mold. I just wondered if you had anything to, say about that.
Well, David, what did you say at the beginning?
Oh, I was talking about that I feel like I'm in a mold that constrained, if you like, and it's hard, for me to sort of drop into, nice feelings when I'm just running around doing my life or sewing with my life, as you like. One thing that I've gotten to help me with that is listening to some meditation tapes that have nice music, and it's relaxing, and it has a special kind of beat, and it basically it calms the brain down, as best as I can tell.
Well, I think that's true. It's like one of the powerful things for you in listening to the meditation tapes is that you drop the thinking that has you in that mold. You drop them. Otherwise,
yeah,
the meditation tape couldn't affect you. So it's important to see that when you go and those tapes are allowing you to find peace of mind, you've let go of the usual thinking you find yourself in. That's really, really powerful to see. The tape didn't do it, because I have seen people in major depression that I've worked with that were in this inpatient setting spend an hour on a meditation tape and nothing's changed. So what's happened is they've listened to the tape, but they have kept their guilty thoughts about themselves. They've kept their suffering thoughts in their minds listening to the tape. So when you listen, you drop that. That's important to see. And, you know, you're in the human condition. As I was speaking to Jimmy, you know, we all go up and down in levels of consciousness. And so our quality of thinking changes. And we may have built up habits to pay more attention to negative thoughts about ourselves, or, you know, more thoughts about self-evaluation. Like this person I'm recalling from my work in an inpatient setting, when he was listening to meditation tapes, just had a whole bunch of guilt about how he was as a father, as a husband, and so forth. And it was hard to penetrate that thinking, because he would always go, well, yeah, but, you know, yeah, it'd be nice to have a nice feeling, but I've, you know, and we all do that. So at some point in your day, when you listen to meditation tapes, you let go of all of that, and that's wonderful. You are already going in the direction that can help you find more peace outside of the meditation tapes. Is see that it's not worth going into the mold, even though those habits of thought show up. Because you see, underneath that is this true happiness and well-being and love right underneath that for you and everybody else. You're not the exception to that. You have it too. You know, when I was in my PhD program, it was in the Midwest of Canada. And in the campus, there was a river called the Red River that flowed through the campus. During the winter, it was so cold that river froze, and some people would cross-country ski from their house on the Red River to our campus, because you come right into the middle of the university. That's where the river flowed. Now, if you didn't know anything about science, when you looked at that ice, you would not have any belief that there's a river flowing under that ice, because you just didn't know that was true. You see? But there is. It's the same with us. When we get caught up in our thinking, the block of ice, our negative thinking, our hurtful thinking, our stressful or painful thinking, in that moment, we don't believe there's a flow of love and happiness right underneath that thinking, because that's the reality of the principles. What you're thinking in the moment looks real to you. But you can begin to have some understanding that, like with Jimmy, when you're caught up in that thinking, it's just a drop in your level of understanding, and that the love we've talked about this hour, this this essence that we are, our true nature, is not in that thinking. It's in that peaceful state of mind you get when you're in meditation or you're listening to the meditation tape. But what you want to begin to reflect on, not try to figure out, reflect on, is you drop your painful thinking. You're using, I don't mean it this way, okay? It's just to try to make the point. You're using the excuse of meditation tapes to drop into it. I, in a way, if I looked at it, I use the excuse of listening to Sydney Banks' audio tapes while I'm walking to bring me a beautiful feeling, you see? But I want to see that. I want to see that I can listen to these tapes and drop my thinking. So thank you, David. It was great to connect with you, and thanks for sharing, and appreciate what you shared. Have a good rest of your day.
Okay.
Anybody else have anything to share or ask about? Well, I want to thank you all for being here. We're going to look at, you know, coming back to doing the teleseminars regularly. You'll get an email with the ways to listen to the recording for today on that email. Also, take a look at my Spain retreat. There's still time to join us. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day or evening, depending upon where you live. And again, if you have any other questions that come to mind, I'll be glad to talk with you about them. Just email me at drmarkhoward@comcast.net. All right. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you next month. Bye.